When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jesus Stories, the podcast which tells the stories of the life and teachings of Jesus in an informal, informative, and interesting way. I'm your storyteller. I'm George Taylor. We're in season two of this podcast, and if you've just discovered us, I would encourage you to go all the way back to season one, the episode one, and pick up on the stories of all the life and the teachings of Jesus. This episode, today, will review one of the events, in this case, the last part of the teaching we call the Sermon on the Mount. But we may not make much sense unless you've heard the prequel to this event and this teaching. We'll get started on that in just a moment. These Jesus stories come to you because of your support for this podcast, your prayer support, your word of mouth and social media sharing support, and your financial support. Thank you for all the ways you spread the word and help to keep this podcast alive. So I'm asking you, my faithful listeners, you who are able to step up to the table, pray for guidance about whether or not you should support this effort to spread the stories of Jesus. Once you understand what you should or can do, go visit JesusStories.info, click on the Support This Podcast tab. You'll find a method that will allow you to make a one-time donation, as well as a method to sign up for a small amount of monthly support. Every dollar will count, and it will go to the effort to keep these stories coming to you. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast player. It's one of the ways that the word is spread to others about these stories. And don't forget to talk about the podcast with your friends, family, your acquaintances. You'll find that this is really an easy discussion, even with strangers. I've done it. Just try it. You'll find more on the website, JesusStories.info. Click on the Sharing This Podcast tab. We've been reviewing the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' major teaching, which was recorded for us in the books of Matthew and Luke. And in this episode, we'll complete this teaching from Jesus. And again, if this is your first time listening, I encourage you to go back to at least the beginning of season two so you can be up to date on this story. Jesus' teaching has focused on the hearts of his listeners. Those are the Jews who were hearing him during the first century, as well as you and me today. He wants us to ensure that our hearts are the same as our actions. He compared six commands from the law with the expected condition of the heart, and he taught us how we should worship our Father, Jehovah God. Now, Jesus moves to an area of teaching that really gets into our pocketbooks and our possessions. So let's hear what he has to say. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus says, don't collect treasure on earth, but do collect treasures in heaven. And note that the contrast here is for treasures which are permanent versus treasures which are temporary. The temporary treasures are here on earth and subject to destruction or robbery. Such is not the case for treasures in heaven. So how do we store treasures in heaven? Again, this is a heart issue. There's nothing wrong with having earthly treasures. The question becomes, how are these treasures being used in the service and to the glory of Jehovah? In other words, are these treasures accumulated only for our enjoyment, or can they help enlarge the kingdom of God? The answer to this question tells us where the desires of our hearts lie. Our treasures in heaven also accumulate as the reward for good works we do in the name of our Father. Jesus makes another comparison to drive home his point. He likens our attitudes to our eyes. In Jewish thought, the eye represented the attitudes of the mind. So Jesus says that if our eyes are healthy, our minds are focused on Jehovah God and serving Him, then our whole body will be healthy. Your whole body is filled with light, he says. Then it follows that if our eyes are unhealthy, our minds are not focused on Jehovah God and serving Him, then our bodies are filled with darkness. We may think the darkness is actually light, but then, quote, how deep that darkness is, unquote. Then Jesus makes the point that this is an either-or proposition. We must make a choice. We cannot serve both God and money. Jesus follows with, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? I want you to consider Jesus' first century audience for this statement. Food had to be procured and prepared each and every day. In my Western world, where food is readily available in a grocery store or even by delivery, food is pretty much a given. Relatively few go to bed hungry. But, Jesus says, our lives are more than food and clothing. Jehovah God knows that we need these things to survive. Look at the birds. They don't plant, they don't harvest, and they don't store away food in barns, but they have food to eat because our Father knows that they need it. Aren't we more valuable than they? Worrying about our food doesn't deliver it to us. And look at the flowers in the field. They're beautiful, but they don't work to make their clothing. If the Father cares for these flowers, which are just temporary, then He'll care for us. Why do you have so little faith? He asks. He closes with these words, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These are the things that people who don't believe in Jehovah God worry about. But He knows that you need these things. So, He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Jesus is saying that when we commit our lives totally to Him, when our hearts are totally His, as He has described in the previous teachings, then our Father will see to our needs for food and clothing. We don't need to be concerned about these necessities. In the Message, Eugene Peterson paraphrases this last teaching like this: steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Then he closes this segment with these words: So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Again, those who are followers of Jesus and his Father, our Father, need not be concerned about tomorrow. Focus on today and his kingdom. Jesus moves on to tackle some very tough teaching. This teaching is probably one of the most quoted scriptures in all the Bible. However, that quotation is usually taken out of the context in which Jesus was teaching, and it's usually used in a defensive manner. Sometimes someone who is accused of something may respond with, "Don't judge." Again, this is pulled out of the context in which Jesus made this statement. Let's get the whole context, the whole teaching. Here are his words. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Do you see the triplet there? Don't judge, don't condemn, do forgive. And the result is a similar triplet. We will not be judged, condemnation will not come back against us, forgiveness will be ours. Jesus goes on to say that what you give out, judgment and condemnation versus mercy and forgiveness, comes back to you. The Message paraphrases this teaching this way. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And I love the next illustrations Jesus uses. They're downright funny, but they make the point. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, "Hey, buddy, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Can you see the two blind people trying to find their way around? And can you see someone with a log in their eye, and they're trying to remove a speck from someone else's eye? What's Jesus trying to say? Jesus is telling us that two people who are in the same situation at the same time, blind leading the blind, will not find their way out of that situation. The person who has something seriously wrong in his life, a log in his eye, cannot guide the person with a speck in his eye. Jesus calls such a person a hypocrite. The man with the log in his eye must remove that log before he can help the other person with a speck in his eye. Then Jesus says, "Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you." That may be a statement that you've heard before, one of those nuggets of wisdom that come out from time to time. But what is Jesus really trying to tell us? If you are a follower of Jesus, one of the precious responsibilities we are charged with is to share the story of Jesus with other people. However, not everyone is ready to hear this story. So, Jesus is telling his followers not to push the story on people who are not willing to hear. If you do, it will backfire on you. It requires discernment or judgment to understand when to tell the story of Jesus and whom to tell it to. Such discernment can only come from Jehovah God. So Jesus continues with his statement, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Then he uses this illustration. If you're a parent and your child asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? Of course not. So if we sinful people know how to satisfy our children, he continues, how much better does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to his children, his followers? Remember, this idea of Jehovah God as Father is a relatively new idea to Jesus' first century listeners, so this teaching might have been a little confusing for them. Jesus then reiterates a teaching which we have heard before. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. In other words, we hear the golden rule again as a summary of how we should treat other people. Now, like any good preacher, Jesus issues an invitation. What's an invitation? It's the preacher's way of asking you to make a choice, take action on what's been presented. In this invitation, Jesus outlines choices for his listeners to make, and for each choice, he shows the results. The first choice asks, which road will we take? You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, he says. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gate to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. In other words, there are two roads. One leads through a narrow gate into the kingdom of God. It's a difficult road that only a few find, but it is the road to life. The other road leads through a wide gate. Many will go through that gate and find total destruction. The second is a teacher choice. In other words, to whom are you listening? He starts this choice out by saying, "Beware of false prophets." These false prophets are disguised like sheep, but underneath they are wolves covered in sheep's wool. Check out the way they act. They will act like wolves, not sheep. Then he says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Remember, the main point of Jesus' teaching in this Sermon on the Mount is that it's all about the heart. Out of the hearts come the actions and the words which show who we really are. Then he gives this warning. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Some will say, Lord, didn't we do all this great stuff in your name? We prophesied, we cast out demons, we did miracles. But Jesus says that he will say, I don't know you. Go away. And the final choice he outlines is, for what foundation we build our lives on. What are we building our life upon? If you follow the teachings of Jesus, build your life on them. Then you're like a person who builds his house upon a solid rock. When the rain and the winds come and the floodwaters rise, the house stands. In other words, when life happens, you won't collapse. But if you ignore the teachings of Jesus, then you're like the person who built his house on sand. Rain and wind and flood caused the house to collapse because of the shifting sand. When life happens without a Jesus foundation, you collapse. Then Matthew concludes his record of the sermon with these words. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Now, why would this be the case? The teachers that this crowd had heard before, the Pharisees mainly, would quote authorities such as other rabbis and experts. Jesus spoke without these quotations. As the Son of God, he is the authority. That concludes the teaching known as the Sermon on the Mount. These Jesus stories come to you because you choose to support us, either financially or prayerfully, or both. We appreciate your help. If you've benefited from these episodes, would you pray and consider providing financial support for us? If you would join with us in this effort through a monthly donation of just a small amount, you'll get a chance to hear Jesus Stories Extras. These are special podcasts where I share some more insights about these Jesus Stories events. Check out this option on patreon.com/JesusStories or go to jesusstories.info. Click on the Become a Patron button under the Support This Podcast tab. I invite you also to take our survey under the Talk to Us tab so you can tell us a little more about you. Our next podcast drop date should be on December 26th, the day after Christmas. But for this 1 week, we'll drop a new episode a little earlier. So on December 24th, Christmas Eve, we'll present a Christmas-oriented podcast. We'll tell the story of the birth of Jesus as presented to us from Scripture in the books of Matthew and Luke. Join us then for that very special episode. See you then.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest that ever.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.